Hello, and welcome to show number 2534 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Nancy Goodman Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
But he even proposed to be over the phone as well.
So, Chris, did you get down on one knee?
No, ma'am.
Did you at least tell her you did?
I owe a restitution for that.
He was at the 7-Eleven phone booth.
By now, you know how this delightfully heartwarming story ended, but you should know that it started when these two met as children when their dads were in the military.
On today's show, we'll be talking with Judy and Chris Jones, a blind couple who first met abroad as children, reconnected years later, had a long-distance telephone courtship, and married after that telephone proposal. They'll share their journey with us through cross-cultural moves, parenting, jobs, and beating the odds together. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Judy and Chris Jones.
If you find yourself in a situation where you're going to marry a blind person or you're dating and you're not sure if you want to marry a blind person, definitely do it, because it's not so much the blindness that's the issue as much as, do you all have a lot in common? Do you all click? I think our lives brought Chris and I together is what did that. You know, our dating experience was not, I don't even know if I can say dating actually, but our experience that got us together was unique. So it's hard for me to say that, but I guess I would say, don't let your blindness stop you.
Do you have anything you want to add to that, Chris?
I would agree with everything Judy said. I guess the other thing I would think, and it's now I'm older, so I can say I've thought a bit about it off and on. I think it's really important if you decide to get serious, you know, a blind person or a sighted person with a blind person or whatever, I think it's important to know that person well enough to understand, does he or she, you know, are they independent? Do they do what they need to do to be a part of the equation? You don't want to marry somebody you're just going to have to carry the rest of your life. You both need to have enough balance to help each other and support each other in different ways. I mean, I guess I would say Judy is the more sequential of us. I'm a musician, so I'm all scattered all over the place. But both of us were involved in each other's life. And when we had children, we both were very much involved in that whole process and stuff. So I don't think blindness has to make the difference. But because of things, it's important whether you're blind or sighted to figure out if you really can get along with that person and if that person has enough skills to make sure that the teeter-totter is balanced, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And you know, when two young people get together, even if they're both able-bodied, eventually something's going to happen to one of them. And the other one's going to have to step in. And you just need to trust that the other guy's going to be there for you and be able to take care of what needs to get taken care of.
And the seesaw is a great analogy. When one is down, the other one helps them get up, and vice versa. Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
Biped AI, the manufacturer of NOAA, an all-in-one mobility vest. NOAA provides GPS navigation, detects obstacles, and describes surroundings using cameras and AI. Available through many distributors. More information is available at biped.ai.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Let's start by meeting Chris and Judy.
Today we have two guests with us who have been all over the place, and we'll talk a little bit about their journey, but first we'll have them introduce themselves. And maybe, Judy, you can tell us who you are and a little bit about yourself.
Okay, thank you. My name is Judy Jones, and I'm retired as of 2017. My husband and I are in North Washington in Cedar Woolley, a little town nobody's ever heard of, but it's about 83 miles north of Seattle. I'm blind due to retinopathy of prematurity. I've worked pretty much most of my life, and you know, except I was stayed home for a while raising kids in between working careers, and then went back to work after the kids were out of the house, and then retired, like I said. I'm an Air Force brat, born, raised, and trained, B-R-A-T. So that's a little bit about me.
And we also have, as you mentioned, your husband, Chris, with us, who's also blind. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Chris.
I'm Chris Jones. I am also blind due to retinopathy of prematurity. I was an Army brat, so we moved around a little bit. One of the bigger things about me is that though I'm ethnically white, I've been doing traditional black gospel music now for 54 years, very much into the old gospel choir kind of sound. So that's been a big thing with me. I retired from working at a technical college doing advising and disability support services and did that for like 17 years. So that's a little bit about me.
And what did you retire from, Judy?
I retired from the Idaho Commission for the Blind because we were living in Idaho at the time. To explain exactly what I did, I wore a lot of hats. I was a regional office manager.
Support for Eyes on Success comes from our listeners and corporate sponsors.
For more information about airing promotional items on the show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is Judy and Chris Jones's journey as a blind couple with children and jobs and moves all over the place for various reasons.
In the introduction, you guys talked about how you were in the various parts of the military with your family, and I know you were overseas during part of that time, and you actually met when you were rather young, but then were disconnected for a fair amount of time before you connected again. Tell us a little bit about your upbringing and how that went in the Army.
Well, for me, I was the youngest of four. My parents didn't know anything about blind people or blindness or any of that. They just kind of figured, well, all right, so you're blind, so let's see. I remember when I was about four, I think I started taking piano lessons, and music has been a huge part of my life. One of the things I would mention is that I mostly went to public schools. When my dad was stationed in San Francisco the last year we were there, my mom learned how to transcribe Braille. And the next year we moved to Paris, France for a year. And my parents took the math book I would need for fourth grade because that's what I was going to go into. And my mother Brailled everything else for me. And she still had two kids in the house and one in college elsewhere. So with the people that had special ed young people that I was serving at the college, I would often talk about my mom and dad and how that my mother was so supportive. And my father, actually, when I went to Florida School for the Blind for about 2.5 months in my junior year, I wrote and stuff to my parents and people and said, I really have got to leave this environment. There are some good things that are happening, and I could have just kind of stuck back and just done it. But even at, I think it was 16, I really understood that I needed more serious challenges than I was getting then. And my parents, I tell people I integrated Winter Park High School near Orlando, and I was the first blind graduate there in June of 1970. So that's for all the parents who deal with blind kids and wonder if, you know, what's going to happen. My parents were the two people who fought for me to get into public school in Florida. So that was a big thing.
That is a big deal when your parents are very supportive. And what a commitment of your mom to become a transcriber and put all your school material into Braille.
Oh, yeah.
How about you, Judy? Tell us a little bit about your upbringing in the military.
My dad was Air Force, and so we moved. We didn't move as much as Chris and his family did, but we did our share of moving, and my dad was one of these that where he was a barnstormer in the 30s, and then got into the officers' training school. They needed people during this war that was they thought was going to be coming. So they went ahead and got him in, and he was in the Air Force, and he stayed in for 30 years. But a little bit about, like, he was definitely Air Force all the way, you know, just loved it, loved the planes, loved everything about it. But we were over in Germany, and we had a tour over there from 62 through 65. And my dad started out as a squadron commander at Giebelstadt. And our fathers actually met at a joint staffing meeting. And they just in the course of conversation discovered that both of them had a blind child. And so how often do you see where families have blind children? It just isn't, you know, like, anyway, they decided, let's see if we can get these guys together. And I went over to visit Chris's classroom. It was a resource classroom in a public school. And that's where I first met Chris. And as far as where I went to school, it was really interesting. We lived in Würzburg, Germany. He lived in Frankfurt, which was a couple hours away. And in Würzburg, they happened to have a German school for the blind. It was really different. But I went there, and I also spent some time at the dependent school as well. And my mom had brought over a lot of textbooks and things, you know, that to keep up on my braille and, you know, studies as much as possible. So it was really interesting. They did their best to make sure that I had the braille supports I needed, what I needed. It was a really interesting tour of duty.
You've so far mentioned a couple of countries, a couple of cities. Moving around a lot for a kid can be challenging. For a blind kid, you have extra challenges getting used to a new environment. So, Chris, when you were growing up, how many different places did you live?
Well, I was born in, I later found out, Nashville, Tennessee. I was always called Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And then I later learned when I was looking at the idea of maybe getting a passport that indeed I was born in Nashville as opposed to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, where my dad was stationed. We moved from there to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And then we moved to San Francisco, California, as I said, and then to Paris, France, and then Frankfurt, Germany. And my dad retired after that at Fort McPherson near Atlanta, Georgia. So that's kind of that part of how much we moved up. We didn't get overseas as often as Judy's family were. I think they had two different tours, but we were only overseas once in my life.
And Judy, how many different places did you live?
Well, I lived in the foreign countries, Turkey and Germany, and then we traveled through different ones and visited different ones, you know, which was really educational. It was really good. And then my dad was stationed at all three bases in Colorado Springs. If you're not at war, then you get to pick where you're going to be living. At least they'll try to prioritize it when you want to go stateside. So my dad got his choice and got back to Colorado Springs all three times.
Just to put an anchor in this story, when you guys first ran into each other, this was in the 60s. How old were each of you?
That was in 63 or 64.
I was 11 and she was 12. We're 8 months apart in age, exactly.
Back in the 60s, even in this country, a lot of blind children were not mainstreamed. They were put in separate blind schools. And I'm curious, being overseas and going from post to post, it had to be difficult to get an education for a blind person in terms of resources and what was available. Tell us a little about that.
I think each family has to kind of find their way with it. And it's probably much easier nowadays than it was back then because, you know, they didn't have all of the ADA stuff going on and the reasonable accommodation and all of this. And especially being military, depending on where you're living, you just make do and the kids learn to make do. And, you know, my mom, she enjoyed the lifestyle of moving and stuff. She was very outgoing and, she always made it seem like an adventure. So growing up, I never felt like, oh, no, what am I going to do? Oh, no. The only thing I was sad about was moving and leaving friends behind, you know. And, you know, but mom was always, and my dad, too, is like, well, you're going to make a lot of new friends and you're going to have an exciting this and that. That helped, you know, set the stage a little bit. But, you know, as a blind kid growing up, I just didn't think about that stuff. I was just like, okay. You know, I mean, my parents were not overprotective at all. And I was also very precocious anyway, and very busy as a kid. So I think that it just isn't anything that I was concerned with.
As you just told us, your father's pretty much introduced you when you were both kids, but that was not the beginning of your romantic relationship. That didn't happen until quite a bit later.
Right. Yeah. Chris's folks went stateside a year before we did. And then we went stateside in 1965. And then, you know, life carried on. I went to school. And by the time with college and everything, I ended up having 8 different school moves in my lifetime. So, you know, after college, I got a teaching job and carried on that way, was teaching for several years, and got a call one Labor Day morning, long distance, from a guy who said, "Hi, this is Chris Jones." And I went, "Who?" And I didn't remember who he was. And then right away, he said, "Yeah, I used to know you in Germany. We lived in Frankfurt, and you came and visited my school," and I knew exactly who that was.
So you hadn't had any contact for a number of years then.
No, I'd forgot. It's terrible to say, but I'd forgotten about him.
That's so sweet.
But he was at this point in his life, he'd kind of gone all around the country working at jobs and, you know, doing different things. But at this point, he was in Florida and he had a job. And here I was teaching in Kansas, you know, across the country.
That's not close.
Yeah. In the days when you had to, you know, pay for calls. So he always called in the middle of the night, so the rates wouldn't be so bad to be able to talk back and forth. But anyway, that's how we met. And it was through a friend. In the summer times, I was working at a Casper, Wyoming Lions camp for the blind. And there was a guy there named Bob Crook, just a really nice gentleman, who also was there as part of the staff. And Bob happened to know Chris, and I don't remember how they met, but they figured out that the Judy Taylor, that was my name then, the Judy Taylor Chris knew as a girl was the same Judy Taylor that Bob knew as a lady. And Chris put it together and goes, "Oh my goodness, I think it's the same person." And sure enough, it was. But that's what led to him giving me a call.
And then your courtship proceeded primarily over the telephone, right? I mean, you were 1,000 or more miles apart.
At first, yeah, right. We were all this miles apart, and we spent quite a bit of time on the phone. One of our jokes is on our wedding cake, we should have had a telephone. Because that was just really indicative of how things went. But he even proposed to be over the phone as well.
So, Chris, did you get down on one knee?
No, ma'am.
Did you at least tell her you did?
I owe a restitution for that.
He was at the 7-Eleven phone booth. And I was on the phone in my house. Again, it was in the middle of the night. And he starts out, he goes, "I don't want to be so gauche as to da 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 da." He talks, and he's just very eloquent when he gets going, you know, this kind of thing, but ended up saying, "Will you marry me?" And so when he said that, I said, "Well, yeah, I will, but I really should pray about it first," and which I did, you know, before actually making that commitment. But yep, that was the way it happened. I never thought I'd be proposed to on the phone, but everybody has their story.
And now you've been married for over 20 years, right?
Well, actually, as of July 26th of 2025, we will have been married 540 months, which translates to 45 years.
Impressive.
We celebrate our month anniversaries. We do it, even if it's competition to who remembers it first.
Oh, so do we.
Do you?
Yeah. Whoever gets up and says happy month anniversary first, the other one's like, darn it, you know?
Now, when you guys decided to get married, you were living quite far apart. How did you decide where to relocate?
One night, about 3 months later, I had the thought, well, you know, next year at this time, you'll be doing the same thing. You'll be teaching school, which I enjoyed because I really enjoyed the community and the people and everything like that. The only difference is that you will wonder what would have happened if you had gone to Florida. And I thought, oh, that's it. I'm going. So I thought, okay, I'm going to Florida. I'm not going to mess around with this. And so I let Chris know, made arrangements for me to take my spring break down in Florida. And I met his sister who lived in the same town he did in Tallahassee. In fact, I stayed with his sister and husband while I was down there for my spring break. And we decided while I was down there, yep, this is definitely it. We're going to get married. And that is when I'm like, oh my goodness, I need to end my teaching career, don't I? So when I got back the next month, which was in May, I gave notice. And it was a very bittersweet thing because I really loved the little community I was teaching in. But that's how that went. And in that summer, I got my first guide dog. So that was a summer of getting my first guide dog, moving to Florida, and then getting married.
And then you guys raised a couple of children.
Yeah, we sure did. And our first daughter was born in 1986. And then her name is Jada. And our younger daughter, Sadie, was born in 1990.
Do you have any words of wisdom for people who doubt that a totally blind couple can raise children?
What I would say, you just do it. There is no reason you can't. We know factually, and we can be documented, that blind couples are very successful in raising children. And there are so many questions where people will say, how do you do this? How do you do that? And most of the time, it's things that they would do themselves. Or they say, well, yeah, we do that the same way. We do that the same way. You know, and there are obviously some things like transportation you have to consider, which we do. We've always planned strategically where we're going to live. And, you know, whenever we've had to move, the first thing is, okay, do they have transit there? Yes. Okay. So is where we're going to live on a transit line? Can we walk? Do we like from A to B? How do we do this? And we've always been really successful when we plan that way. And it's been really good moves. We've been able, especially raising kids, to be independent with them, like to taking them on the bus from any places, to birthday parties, to schools, to play parks, to whatever you can think up to do this really fun with kids. But yes, totally blind people can definitely raise kids.
You know, many of the people we've interviewed over the years talk about how blind people grow up to be problem solvers because they have to learn how to do things in different ways. And I guess particularly with your experiences in the military and being in a lot of different environments, you've really learned to accommodate to different situations and different circumstances.
Yeah, I think that really is probably true. But right, you know, you're used to a lot of different environments, and, you know, and I think with what I would say is if there's a couple who has blind kids, make sure those kids get as much exposure to everything as possible, you know, just so that they can grow up learning that, yeah, it's natural to adapt and do what you do.
And you guys have certainly demonstrated that throughout your lives, being in all the different places you've been and different situations. And I think it's also a tribute to both of your parents being very supportive. I give my parents a lot of credit for how they raised me to be independent and kind of fight my own battles, but be there as a safety net if I needed it. That's real important.
Well, you know, my folks told me that one time, you know, in the course of life conversations that you have, that when I was born as a premature, and they found out that I was going to be blind. They're like, huh? And neither one of them had been around a blind person. So then they went, well, I don't know that there's really any difference. We'll just do what we need to do. And of course, I grew up, I was expected to do chores and do everything, but yet they gave me all the braille supports. But I was expected to do, I wasn't treated really any differently, but never, it didn't even dawn on them that, well, you just can't see, so you can't, you know, it wouldn't have even occurred to either of them, or if it did, I sure didn't know about it.
That's the perfect combination of being supportive and teaching you to stand on your own two feet and solve your own problems.
You're right about the problem solver thing.
Well, this was a great conversation, and I wish you guys good luck for the next 45 years.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us on the show.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Now for this week's final item, how to contact Judy and Chris Jones and some other resources for blind parents and parents of blind children.
If people had questions for either of you in terms of traveling around in different countries or just raising kids or having a blind couple together, would they be able to contact you?
I would love it.
And how would they reach you?
Chris and I have separate phones, and I'll give mine first, and emails. Again, my name is Judy Jones, and my email is sunshines, but spelt with an O, so sonshines59@gmail.com. My phone number is area 208-316-7008.
And Chris?
And I am Chris Jones. And my email would be lowercase letters CLJ53787@gmail.com. And my phone number is area 208-308-8876.
So we talked about this a little bit before starting to record. Does either of you know of any organizations or support groups that can give support and advice to blind couples, blind parents, whatever?
I would really start with the National Federation of the Blind because they're a very proactive group. The way the organization seems to view blindness, and there's a lot of great role modeling that goes on in that organization. And so that's where I would start.
And of course, you can find all of that contact information and resources in the show notes for this episode, which is 2534, at our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. And we've also done lots of shows about parenting when either the parents are blind or the children are blind. And if you use the search field and put in the word parent, you'll be able to find those shows. Enjoy.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about the Ally Smart Glasses from Envision. Artificial intelligence is opening new doors in accessibility, and we'll talk with Karthik Kannan, co-founder and CTO of Envision, about the newly announced Ally Solos smart glasses and about using QR codes to bring detailed museum descriptions to blind visitors, showing how technology can improve participation in public life for people with vision loss.
There's been a lot of buzz recently about using smart glasses for accessibility, and these glasses are another great entry into the field that are actually affordable. So we hope you'll join us for that episode next week.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening, and have a nice day.